Today on Vox Talks Economics, management under the spotlight. Welcome to another of our special episodes recorded at the CEPR Annual Symposium in Paris. My name is Tim Phillips. What kind of manager would you be? And how would a prospective employer find that out? An experiment in Ethiopia used an ingenious method to measure the management styles of young professionals. And along the way, it also found out something useful about what employers would like the managers they employ to be like, and, potentially, what we should be doing to train young people to be those good managers. I spoke to two of the researchers in Paris, Simon Quinn of Imperial College and CEPR, and Tom Svancher of Bocconi. I started by asking Simon why we should care about the quality of our managers.
In different ways, all of us work in organizations, and we all think and probably chat a lot to each other about the people who manage us. And I think they matter for a couple of reasons. One is it just matters for the day-to-day interactions of an organization. Is someone the kind of manager who sets a nice tone, gets people enthusiastic about the workplace, and so on? And of course, at a higher level, it also can be relevant for the strategy of the organization. This is something that we don't really pursue in this research, but I think there's both a sense of managing internally, but also setting the strategic direction of an organization. So the short answer is I think they matter a lot.
Tom, does it especially matter when we're thinking about development?
I think probably the role of managers directly is probably very similar in high and low-income countries, but a constraint for firms in low-income countries is just that it's harder to find good people to manage their firms, which then also means it's harder for firms to grow and become larger over time.
Economists think about the way that firms are structured quite a lot. Should it also be thinking about the quality of those individual managers?
Absolutely. And I think it's a really exciting time to be discussing this topic. One of the interesting things that has happened over the past 20 odd years in economics is that we've had the World Management Survey and spin-off surveys that try to measure management practices across different organizations. And I think this is following in that vein to try to think about individual managers and the traits that they bring. And this is something that some economists have looked at, but I think it's an exciting time to try to be thinking about, in this case, young professionals in Ethiopia, and using that context to try to think about how people think about the role of management, how they see themselves as a potential manager or young professional.
What do we mean by a good manager?
Oh, who knows? Part of what we thought going into this research is we thought we want to go to a small film studio. We want to give a series of management vignettes, see how different young professionals respond. We're going to take those videos to established human resource managers and then show them the videos and ask them to rank them. And we thought that we might find that some organizations prefer, for example, a very strong style of management. Other organizations might prefer something much more affiliative and so on. In fact, to our surprise, we actually find that there's a broadly very strong preference across a lot of firms for one particular style of management, which we term a rule-based style of management. It's one of these results, I think, which ex post is very intuitive, but we didn't expect it at the beginning. Essentially, what these HR managers are looking for is a young professional who is willing and able to implement the policies of the firm on behalf of the firm. This is very different for somebody who sees themselves as running a small part of the firm by their own discretion or at their own largesse. And similarly, we also found that some young people were quite affiliative. They were trying to be very friendly. You could imagine some firms might like to see themselves as valuing that style of management. In fact, it seemed to be not very popular either with HR managers, but also when we did follow-up qualitative work with employees who seemed overwhelmingly to prefer a manager who was clear in their expectations rather than one who was always potentially trying to say yes.
Yeah, someone who gets stuff done.
Exactly.
Yes. Tom, this isn't something that you see very many economics papers about. Why not?
It's a good question. I think, and of course, there's some work more focused on like CEOs and kind of the styles that they have, but much less at a lower level. And maybe it's a little bit like this World Management Survey, which introduced a way to measure management practices on a really large set of firms and doing this at scale, which economists certainly couldn't do before. And now we're doing this instead for these kind of more management traits, like how do individuals actually manage? How do individuals think they should act as a manager? And I think what's nice in this paper is that we're doing that outside of the setting of the firm that they're actually in, because you could imagine that the way that you're going to manage, and I think this is also how this manager thinks about it. It's really shaped by your environment and it should be shaped by it. But also part of it is just the way that you behave and that you think you should be as a manager and what you think is the right way to manage. And that's what we're trying to capture here.
Does it matter if you agree with your boss? Alexia Gelfino measured the values and the performance of employees at a global bank to see if shared values meant better outcomes. Her surprising conclusions have implications for management and for advocates of diversity in the workplace. Subscribe to Vox Talks wherever you get your podcasts to listen to the episode When Our Values Clash at Work from May 2025.
Simon, tell me a little bit more about this experiment that you did. What precisely did you set out to measure when you started this?
Well, we wanted to measure the way that young professionals in Ethiopia were responding to a number of different business or management challenges. And this part of what I find fascinating about this is that we knew the kind of challenges that we wanted to test. We didn't go in with a really specific set of things that we wanted to measure. And that's why we used the studio setting. We get these young professionals, we put them in front of a camera with the bright lights on, and we ask them to play the role of a young professional or a junior manager. Now, you can imagine that that's interesting, but it also bundles a whole lot of different traits. Are they going to be aggressive? Are they going to be conciliatory? Are they going to try to say yes to the counterparty? Are they going to stick to the company line and so on? So you get this interesting challenge that on the one hand, you're trying to mimic something a bit realistic, but also that comes with what sometimes we would call high-dimensional object. In other words, there's lots of different aspects of the answer that you then need to try to tease apart.
That's more realistic than getting them to fill in a questionnaire about what they would do.
Exactly. Before we said action, we did ask briefly, what are you trying to achieve in your answer? Because maybe they all want the same thing, but not all of them can get that message across. So we did ask those questions, but I agree. If you asked me if I was a great football player, maybe I'd love to say yes, but just don't kick me a ball. So there's a real sense in which I completely agree. You don't just want to ask people what they think the right answer is. You put them on the spot and you ask them to respond as if they're in a junior managerial position, because you want some of that realism and dare I say it, some of the pressure of a real world setting.
Where did you find all these young professionals, Tom?
This is mainly my co-author's hard work from about 10 years ago now, when they recruited about 1,600 in the end, young university graduates and people who are finishing tertiary school who they recruited at different universities in Addis Ababa, so the capital of Ethiopia, and some smaller cities. They participated in a separate experiment that we'll talk to later. We then got about 1,000 of these people to come to the studio 6-7 years after the original experiment. So these are people that are about 30 years old at this point. They have mostly just professional jobs that they're already working in. They're already highly educated. So it's an interesting sample to look at in this setting that's not studied as much.
You're giving them the scenarios.
Yeah.
And they are responding to these testing management scenarios. As you say, this is a very complex set of responses that you've got.
Yeah.
Then you have to work out what information there is in that data. How do you then categorize that into management styles in a way that doesn't just reflect bias in measurement?
Exactly right. We did a couple of things. The first is we had two Ethiopian enumerators who knew the Ethiopian business context well, and they were very patient. They sat and watched all these videos.
It matters that they know the context.
We think it does. Yeah. We didn't try with less experience, but we almost didn't want to. We wanted people who knew the context well. And they sat and watched all of these videos, and they actually transcribed for us a couple of descriptions of the answer. So in other words, did the person try to say yes or no to the counterparty? Maybe the counterparty, they've been away from work for the past 2 weeks. What tone do they use? What source of authority do they use? What justification do they give for their answer? So we get a bunch of different descriptions that are coded. While we're analyzing it, of course, we've had AI become much more prevalent in so many settings, as we all know. So we actually worked with an Ethiopian company, Hasab AI, to transcribe the actual text, and then we can do some text analysis on that as well. And to top it all off, we do some work actually thinking about the image itself, where we can look at, for example, things like facial expressions, the valence in the reaction, and so on. So we try to bring all of these different tools to bear to think about this complex thing that is somebody talking down a camera in a managerial style scenario.
Because, of course, if you are going to use this in the real world, and if you wanted to use it at scale, then resources become a limitation. Automation and AI becomes very important.
It does. Yes, exactly right. This is the kind of thing that could scale if a large organization wanted to do it. And in fact, we do see a lot of young people in a lot of different settings. If they're applying for a job, they will often start that process now by doing some kind of assessment center. Yeah. And that can sometimes involve something not dissimilar to the kind of scenarios that we were working with.
What type of managers came out of this experiment? Well, how many categories could you sort them into?
We have now all these attributes of these respondents, right? So the action that people take, the authority, and we then use an algorithm to find different combinations of those attributes that people will often use together. And that's what we're then going to call these styles of management. And then we're going to think of each individual. They're using a combination of those styles throughout their responses because they're acting out five different
scenarios. No one is just one thing all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people come close to being kind of one thing all the time, but most of the people are somewhere.
You might not want those people to be a manager.
Exactly. So we use that essentially to get these clusters of behaviors that we think of as a management style. Mm-hmm. And the algorithm gives us this, and we're then going to essentially interpret these using both this text data that Simon talked about from the transcription to then give these styles different names, four different styles of management. The first one we're going to call this rules-based style of management. And this is someone who essentially says no to whatever request that they're getting. And they say, no, we have a policy of how we do this in the firm. And this is not in the firm's interest. So they say, no, we're not going to do this for those reasons. And we look at the text around like, no, there's a policy, there's a rule.
Right.
Like, according to something, we cannot do this.
Yeah, we've all known managers like that. And we probably haven't liked them very much sometimes.
Exactly. And I mean, this may reflect also that these are kind of these entry-level managers.
Yes.
Is what we're thinking about. So this may be that the firm just doesn't really want someone who is going to go off on their own and make a lot of different decisions.
Yeah.
And kind of take a lot of freedom. Yeah. They just want someone who's going to implement the rules that the people in charge really want them to set.
Okay, so that's one.
And then we have the second style we call this like affiliative style. So these are people that are actually much more likely to say yes. And they tend to stress a kind of shared interest between them and the other party. And we thought that that actually was going to be the thing that employers would value.
It sounds great.
That somehow, even if you said no, you may want to say there's somehow the shared interest that matters. And they use more words around the relationship. And then we have this style, which we call power-based. So they also tend to say no, but they just say, no, this is bad for me personally. And they just use more negative. Say, no, I can't do it, don't. Yeah. And then we have a type which we call discretion-based, or which maybe you just want to call kind of timid. And these are people that say no, but they don't really rely on any source of authority. They don't say why they're doing this.
They're kind of avoiding the whole management process. Yeah.
It is funny that, as Simon alluded to, we also show these then to employees and we ask them, who would you like to be managed by? So we showed them someone who's very rule-based, someone who's very affiliative, someone who's very average. When I sat down with the enumerators to try this, they immediately like this person who's rule-based because they're just going to be fair. And this person who's affiliative, they're going to play favorites. Mm-hmm. And then also we ran these focus groups of employees, they kind of were telling us the same thing. So we think that's part of what's going on here.
It's interesting as well, isn't it, to find out what people actually want in managers. And they don't always want people who are going to make them feel nice.
Exactly right. And I think it also goes to the long-standing debates about the tension between firm management and employees, that if you're looking at different kinds of managers, it's not the case, at least among these young professionals, that there's one type whom the employees will all love and one type whom HR will all love. It actually seems to be the case that where the senior management or the HR preference actually does align with what the employees want. It's in some sense, better able to understand what it means to work as an entry-level position in a managerial sense, in an organization.
Simon, what do we know about how they have developed these management skills? Is being a good manager something that you're born with? Can it be trained? Do you pick it up from experience?
It's a really interesting question. Part of why we are fascinated by this data set is that we interviewed a large number of very interesting young professionals, in many cases, just as they were leaving university, just entering the labor market. We've been able to follow them. So we actually know quite a bit about what life has looked like for the several years prior to seeing them in this studio. If you look descriptively at the differences between these different management styles, people who exhibit the rules-based style typically have been much more attached to the labor market. They've been working for longer, typically in better jobs that pay more. Now, that could be correlation or not causation, but it's an interesting descriptive statistic to see. So we think that perhaps exposure to the labor market may have helped to guide that style. What's even more interesting is that going back a few years previously, we actually do have a randomized experiment, subject of a different academic paper, where we took some of these young people and they spent a month in an established firm shadowing middle managers. Mm-hmm. And we can see that that also helped them on the career ladder. But there we've got so-called exogenous variation, where we know what the reason was that they had a bit more exposure to the labor market. And we can actually pick up that variation when we look at the management styles. People who we placed one step higher up the career ladder show up being more likely to have this rule-based management style. While I'm sure there's something that's innate, it also suggests that life experiences are relevant. And the last life experience I'll tell you about is that we can look at the difference between people who have slightly more educated and slightly less educated parents. It's a fascinating time to look at young professionals in a large African city because you've got a lot of people in this setting who are much more educated than their parents were and therefore aspiring to jobs that their parents were never able to aspire to. If you look at people who have neither of their parents having completed primary education, you actually find that they're significantly and clearly less likely to exhibit this rules-based management style. Now, again, that could be related to a bunch of different background factors. We're not claiming it's necessarily all caused by parents' education, but I think it says something interesting about the life experiences that each of us brings to the labor market. My parents are both high school teachers. I grew up hearing a lot of stories about what happens in the classroom. And I think in different ways, probably all of us can relate to that. What's interesting is that the effect of being placed in a firm for a month is able to overcome that difference in management styles that otherwise is represented by the difference in parental education. What is interesting and challenging about these results is I think it speaks to the fact that people who come from traditionally more disadvantaged backgrounds might be disadvantaged in part because they're not socialized to a corporate organizational culture in the same way. That's really interesting challenge to think about how we might help individuals try to overcome some of those corporate socialization barriers, if we could call it that.
What can we put in place to give potential talent in somewhere like Ethiopia, which needs good managers to help its businesses thrive, to make sure that we are getting the best talent in the best managerial jobs? Tom, what do you think?
One thing that's good for policy about what we find here is that all firms like the same style of management. Mm. So it's not the case that you need to train different people who are going to go into different firms in different ways. It's really about some common management style that you can teach people, seeing what managers do, helps people learn how to do this, which is actually quite quick if you think about it being something potentially hard to learn. And what we're now curious about is kind of, can you look at kind of smaller interventions where you just teach people like this is just what is expected from how you do business. Like you would learn, say you move to a different country. When I moved to the UK, I certainly had to learn what the norms were about what to do. I was immediately told on the first day, you have to talk about the weather to everyone.
Yeah.
That was the way to fit in.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a question of like, what is kind of this smaller intervention you can also do to teach people these styles to give people more equal opportunity to the labor market?
I think there's something interesting here about the role of experience. The other thing that I will say, and of course this goes far beyond our empirical results, but it's intriguing to think about the role of business schools and things like MBA programs as well. Now, you could run a whole other experiment, which we didn't run, to think about the extent to which this kind of professional managerial training is not only teaching formal aspects of firm organization, but also something about the firm culture and the kind of expectations of young professionals in a firm setting.
That's fascinating work. I hope to see more of it because it's extremely relevant as well. And we can all relate to it. Thank you very much for talking.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Simon.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And the weather is quite nice today, isn't it?
Very nice.
It's very nice, exactly.
The paper is called Management Style Under the Spotlight, Evidence from Studio Recordings. The authors Giram Abedi, Marcel Fafchamp, Michael Coelho, Simon Quinn, and Tom Schwancher.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next time on Vox Talks Economics, the Alpha Political Male.